Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. All right, so we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 today, and we are going to... Thank you. Appreciate that. We're going to kind of finish up or kind of put a bow around and tie up what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. The last few weeks we've been discussing things that are attitudes or actions in our lives that keep us back from being all that God's called us to be and doing all that God's called us to do. And we've used the illustration or the title of the sermon is Burn the Ships. And we've got to burn those things to the ground in our life so that we can effectively be who God's called us to be and do what God's called us to do. No matter what that is in our life, we've got to be willing to get rid of everything that hinders us from going forward. And so today, what I want to kind of do is ask the question, or the general overarching question is, what do we do now? You ever been in a situation like that where like you've been too long in something that you shouldn't have been in, or maybe you've had a great accomplishment in your life and you've gotten better and you've done something, and then there's kind of this moment where you're like, okay, but what do I do now? Well, that's what we want to talk about this morning is whether we've come to the realization throughout these last few weeks, last 5 weeks together, that we've gotten rid of some things in our lives and so we're at a good place, or whether we've realized we've held on to some things way too long in our life and we still need to get rid of them. All of us, no matter where we're at, we come to this realization of what do I do now? And Paul, in this passage in Philippians, tells us exactly what we need to do now that we're there. All right, so we're going to read that in just a minute. But before we do that, let's go over our memory verse. All right, here's our memory verse. All right, is everybody ready? All right, Psalms 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119:11. Very good. All right, now let's transition into Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Here we go. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is writing this letter writing these words to the Philippian church. And in whenever you read Paul's letters, whenever you read any of Paul's letters, Paul always starts off his letters with some theology and some belief. And then at some point in the letter, he transitions to practice. And what he does is he basically says, this is how you apply what we've just learned. And we're kind of in that transitional period in the book of Philippians where Paul has laid out all of the theology, and now it's let's put the rubber, let it meet the road, and let's do what God's called us to do. Kind of where we're at today. And so I want us to notice two things this morning in answering the question of what do we do now? Whether we've burned the ships in our life, or we've gotten rid of complaining and compromise and complacency, or maybe we've realized we've held on to those things too long and we still need to deal with them. What do we do now? There's two things that Paul says in answer to that question. Here's the first thing. Number one, listen to me very carefully. Listen, it's okay to admit you've still got a ways to go. That's what Paul, did you hear it? Three times. Three times Paul basically says, I'm not there yet. And each time he uses a different word to describe how he's not there yet. Right? And so I want you to look at those words with me real quick this morning. Here's the first one. The first one is obtained. He says, not that I have already obtained this in verse 12. Obtained. That word obtained means to acquire a possession. That means to get hold of something tangibly, physically, like you can touch it, put it in your hands. And Paul says, and we're going to get to what he means here in just a minute. He says, but whatever is out there, I ain't there yet. Now that's terrible English, but it makes for good preaching, right? He says, I ain't there yet. I haven't grasped it in my hands yet. But that's not enough. He goes on to say, he says, not only am I not have attained it, but I am nor am I already perfect. Now, that's an interesting way. We wouldn't necessarily phrase it that way. That word perfect there means complete or finished. It's related to the same word that Jesus uses on the cross in John chapter 19 or 20, where Jesus is on the cross and he says, "It is finished." And then John says, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, basically. That word, "it is finished," is related to this word, perfect. And the idea is of a race. Now, y'all may not believe this or not. Y'all may not. But about 75 pounds ago, I was the fastest person at Burt Rumble Middle School. Hard to imagine, I know. But one day, it was true back in 20 years ago, right? Fastest person at Burt Rumble in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. For 6th grade, I won the 100-yard dash. For 7th grade, I won. And for 8th grade, I won, right? I know, really weird. It's so fine. I'm cool with it now. You know, but here's what I learned in running races. And I didn't really run a whole lot of races until then. But what I realized, when you run a race, there's a finish line, right? And your goal is to be the first one at the finish line. And you will do whatever it takes to get to the finish line. And so sometimes, if you've ever watched the Olympics and all this, you'll see these people, they will do this number right here, right? Because they want to get to the goal. They want to complete the race first. And Paul says, from a tactical point of view, I have not finished the mission. Several years ago, at the University of Georgia, y'all know I love football. I love the University of Georgia football. And one of their little slogans that year was "Finish the drill." And so all over Facebook and on all their YouTube hype videos and on all of the Twitter posts, it would be hashtag "finish the drill." And Paul says, when I look at it from a tactical point of view, I haven't finished yet. Like, I've started, but I'm not done. I still have a ways to go. But then Paul uses one other word to describe how he has not finished what his goal is. And he said, when I consider it, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. So he says, tangibly, I haven't grasped it. Tactically, I haven't finished the drill. And that word "consider" means to think logically about something and come to a conclusion. So then Paul says, thirdly, I've not only attained it physically, I not only tactically haven't finished, but when I think about it in my mind and I put all of the pieces and I connect all the dots, I realize there's still some dots out there I haven't connected yet, that I still have a ways to go. So Paul says, physically I haven't attained it, tactically I hadn't attained it, and logically I haven't attained it. So listen to me. Now listen, if the Apostle Paul, quite possibly the greatest follower of Jesus to have ever lived, if he can say in three different ways, within just a couple verses, I'm not there yet, it's okay for you and me to realize in a moment of clarity, I still have a ways to go. Because you know what I've realized? You know what I've realized in life? And I know I haven't lived as long as some of you have, and you those of you who live longer than I have probably realized this even more. But when you think you have finished it, that's when you haven't finished it. Right? Y'all ever been there? Like, you think you finished a project, and then you ain't really finished the project yet. You know? And that's, I believe, the psalmist or the proverbist calls it the haughty in spirit, basically, or the ones who are going to fall, and they're going to make mistakes. And so Paul says, it's okay to be truthful and honest. And there's no need for shame and for guilt. I don't know about y'all, but many times in my life when I realize I'm not there yet, the first feeling that I get is shame and is guilt. Y'all ever been there before? And you know what shame and guilt do? Shame and guilt are meant to keep you where you are, not help you get forward. That's the difference between when the Bible talks about conviction and then when it talks about shame and guilt. Conviction is meant to help you go forward. Shame and guilt are meant to keep you where you are. And so it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty for not being further down the tracks than you are. You don't have to feel shame for dealing with complacency or compromise or whatever's going on in your life for too long. You don't have to feel shame for that, but you need to realize where you are, because it's not until you realize where you are that you can do the second thing Paul says. But because Paul, listen to me, realized where he was, he could do the second part of this passage, and that is press on. Twice in these four verses, Paul says, even though I hadn't obtained it, even though I've thought about it and I'm not there yet, and even though I can't grasp it yet, I haven't finished the drill yet, I'm still going to press on. That word press on, or that little phrase press on that Paul uses twice in this passage, means to move energetically toward a goal. Energetically toward a goal. Now, y'all have all done, some of us may not have done this in a long time, but all of us who are married in here have energetically moved toward a goal at some point in your life. You know how I know that? Because it happened for me. See, I knew at some point that Holly and I were going to get engaged, but I knew I had a ring, and I didn't have the money to buy a ring. So I energetically painted government housing apartments for 3 to 6 months to buy a ring. I'd work, I mean, and one job I had to do was like an hour and a half away from home. And so I packed breakfast, lunch, and dinner because it was an hour and a half. And so I had to drive over there and I had to paint apartments. And there'd be some days she'd be like, "You coming home yet?" And I'm like, "Baby, it's 5 o'clock, but I ain't coming back tomorrow. It might be midnight before I leave." But I energetically painted one apartment. Boom, boom, after another. You know, I had a goal in mind. And I wanted to complete that goal. And I knew if we were going to get married, I had to have an engagement ring. And I knew what she wanted, and I didn't have the money to get it. So I had to energetically paint apartments to purchase that sucker. Right? Most expensive thing outside of my house I think I've ever bought in my life. Right? But I had a goal and I energetically moved toward that goal. I pressed on. There were a lot of days getting up early in the morning. I didn't want to drive over to, it was in Sandersville, Georgia. I didn't want to drive to Sandersville from Warner Robins. It's a long way. Back roads. I kept thinking, if something happens to me, ain't nobody going to find me out here. My cell phone, that was back when we had them like cell phones you had to hold like this. I'm like, ain't nobody, my cell phone ain't even going to pick up in the middle of nowhere. I might start walking to somebody's house, right? And so, but I energetically painted one apartment after another. And Paul says, if we are going to follow after the Lord, we have to press on and energetically move toward the goal. Well, the next question is, well, what's the goal? What are we pressing on toward? Paul answers that. He says, I press on to win the prize. Now, I know y'all like to win, just like I like to win, so that sounds good. But what prize are we trying to win? And Paul answers that question as well. He says, we're pressing on to win the prize, and the prize is this little phrase here, the upward call of God in Christ. Now, let's stop there and talk about that for a minute. For Paul, the greatest prize in life was the day when he would meet Jesus face to face and be in heaven for eternity with Him. That was the greatest thing that he could ever accomplish, ever attain, or ever possess. And that was the goal. That was the finish line, was to be in heaven with Jesus for all of eternity. And Paul says, even though I can... Now, let's be honest. At the point Paul writes this letter, he's well into starting churches, writing letters to churches, leading people to Christ. Let's be honest. Paul could have coasted the rest of the way, and us in here this morning would have been none the wiser. He could have cashed it in and said, I've done it. I have arrived, and I'm going to coast for the rest of my life. But what does Paul do? He don't coast. He says, I'm going to energetically continue to move toward the goal of being in heaven with Jesus, and I'm not going to let anything stop me. No matter what, I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And when Paul made up his mind to do that, here's what he realized he had to do. He had to do two things. If he was going to press on, it meant he had to do two things. And here it is. He says, I've got to forget what lies behind, and I've got to strain forward for what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind. See, a lot of us, listen. A lot of us, we will not press on in our lives because we have too much nostalgia for the past or remorse for the past. Because, see, we're still stuck back here and we're trying to run the race. The race is this way, the finish line is this way, but we're trying to look back and backpedal. And I don't know if you've ever backpedaled, but you can't backpedal as fast as you can run forward. And some of us are trying to backpedal our way in because the good old days were great back there. But they really weren't that great. We just have nostalgia about how great they were. They weren't as great as we thought they were. But we're trying to look back. Or some of us in here, we don't have nostalgia, we have remorse because we made some bad decisions in the past. And we're still letting those bad decisions suck us back like a black hole. And we're trying to run, we're trying to backpedal forward, but we're still looking back, feeling sorry for ourselves about what's happened in the past. And Paul says, you got to forget all of that stuff. Because as my mother told me, you can't go back in the past and change it. What's done is done. You got to leave it there. It ought to inform you in the future, but you can't go relive it. That we ain't going back to the future like Marty McFly, right? Some of us may want to, but we can't do it. And so we got to forget it and leave it in the past and run the race forward. Look forward and run forward. And Paul says the only way you're going to run is you got to strain. And that's like the runner who stretches out his neck, right? To get to the finish line first. Paul says if we're going to run the race and we're going to press on, we got to forget what's behind us, strain forward, and one day we will ultimately reach our goal. And Paul gives us one other little tidbit that throws in, and I think kind of ties it all together. He says, why in the world would we want to do this anyway? Why would we not want to just coast it, cash it in and coast out for the rest of our lives? He says, and his answer is very simple but super profound. He says, because Jesus made me His own. In other words, let me kind of put this all together. Paul says, I'm going to press on. I'm going to strain forward. I'm not going to look behind. And I'm going to go with everything, with every fiber of my being, with every ounce of energy I have. I'm going to run toward the goal because that's exactly what Jesus did for me. Think about it. Jesus had every opportunity to give up. Let's just take the last few hours of Jesus' life before He gets on the cross. Maybe the last 12 hours or so before His death. Jesus had a chance to cash in and quit in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? When He takes His disciples over there, all of them are asleep. He could have walked away and none of them would have known where He went. He could have said, I'm done with y'all, sorry jokers. And He could have got out of there and nobody would have ever known. But He didn't. He stayed. When Judas comes up to give Him the kiss on the cheek to betray Him, and all the Roman soldiers come up, and Jesus speaks in John's Gospel, says the power in His voice just knocks everybody down. Jesus could have said, that's it. Got y'all. I'm out of here. But He didn't. He stayed. He pressed on. When Peter pulls out the sword and goes to cut off the dude's ear, Jesus could have said, hey, everybody, grab your sword. And every one of the disciples could have pulled out a weapon. And they could have... But He didn't. He pressed on toward His mission. Because that wasn't His mission. He tells His disciples, don't you know that I could have called 12 legions of angels to come down and defeat all these people? But He didn't. Because that wasn't His goal. And He's pressing on toward His goal. When He's in there in front of all of this fake jury, officials, fake jury, fake trial with the Sanhedrin, the Jewish officials, and He's standing there and Jesus doesn't say a word except for one question. And all He says is something to the effect of, what you've said is true. Jesus could have defended Himself. He could have done everything. He knew the law better than they did. But He didn't, because that wasn't His goal. His goal was to go to the cross, and so He pressed on toward that goal. When he's being beaten mercilessly, with the cat of nine tails, whap, 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 whap. At any moment, Jesus could have cashed in and said, okay, that's good, I'm done. But He didn't. He pressed on, because that wasn't His goal. His goal was to die on the cross for you and for me. And when He's on the cross, there were time after time after time, He could have cashed it in. He could have given up. He could have said, you know, when they're crucifying, what's one of the most amazing things Jesus says on the cross? He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He could have rained down fire and brimstone on everybody and wiped them all out. But He didn't. Why? Because that wasn't His goal. His mission was to die for you and for me. And Paul says, because Jesus pressed on time and time and time again to finish His goal, doggone it, I'm going to finish my goal as well. And listen, that same is true for me and for you in here this morning. I don't know where you're at in life, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't know what things are churning in your life, but here's what I do know. All of us, if we want to complete the goal and we want to gain access into heaven and we want to have a relationship with Jesus for eternity, at some point, at some crossroads, at some crisis of faith moment in our life, we're going to have to decide whether we're going to press on or whether we're not. And I'm encouraging you here today to choose that, because I can tell you what it's like to not choose that, and it's not a good place. Good results don't happen. So I need you to press on like Paul encourages us today. Don't listen. Like, don't be a spiritual crybaby. Right? You know, none of us like crybabies, right? Even our own kids, like when they whine and complain. Teachers, can I get a witness? People in the medical profession, can I get a witness? Right? Nobody likes Christ. But why are we going to be crybabies for the Lord? Like, does that make us cooler? No. Some of us are, with me, anytime something doesn't go our way, and we're whining for the Lord. Don't be a spiritual crybaby. Listen, some of us aren't crybabies, but some of us are quitters. Right, man? We're going for the Lord, and the first moment something comes up, we're like, psh, I'm done. Coasting in the rest of the way. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Look, until the Lord calls you home, you still have a job to do somewhere in the kingdom. Don't be a quitter. This might be a little controversial. Some of us are socialists. Oh, no, I voted Republican. No, wait, no. I did the button, right? Yeah, you know that new thing? No, but some of us are spiritual socialists. You want to know why? Because you are coasting on everybody else's successes, not your own. Right? You have been coasting through life on the successes of everybody else. And you've never experienced the Lord in your own life and in your own way. Listen to me, friends. You've got to press on. You've got to keep going. You can't give up. You can't worry about the successes of anybody else, because you've got to run your race and you've got to complete your mission and you've got to do what God's called you to do. And at some point in your life, you've got to press on. So what do you need to do now? Today, when you walk out of these doors, and today when we have our little closing time and we go home and eat chicken and mashed potatoes or whatever, you got to decide to press on come Monday morning, because today it's going to be easy. But y'all all know the reality of Monday morning. You're going to be around people. Yay! Right? And in that moment, when you pull up into work, maybe for some of y'all, when you get a text message before you even get there, you're going to have to decide, am I going to press on for the Lord today, or I'm going to cash in for the day? And every day we got to decide, hey, I'm going to press on today. I'm going to press on today. I'm going to press on today. I'm going to keep going. Nothing is going to get me off of doing what God's called me to do. Nothing is going to stop me from finishing my mission of what God has called me to do. Now I want you to think back real quick. We're about done. I want you to think back to our initial illustration that we started the series off with. If you weren't here, that's fine. I'm fixing to give it to you again. Initial illustration we started the series off was with Cortez, and how when Cortez landed to go conquer the Aztec Empire, he told his men to burn all the ships. So there was no retreat. There was no going back. It was, we got to do this. Now at some point, they had to make a decision. Ships are burned. There's no way they're going back to Cuba. So what do they do? Well, they only got a couple options. One, they can stay on the beach. I'm sure somebody thought of that idea. And that sounds like a great idea, especially right now. Cold weather, beach sounds good. But at some point, you're going to run out of supplies on the beach and everybody's going to die. So they only had one other option. We're going to stay on the beach, or we're going to press on. And you know what pressing on meant for them? It meant going through the jungle. It meant fighting enemies. It meant dealing with hardship. But it also meant completing the mission. And so, see, some of us, we're on the beach right now, and we got to decide, the beach is comfortable, it's nice, I can build me a chair, I can sit right here. but that's as far as you'll get. When the mission is so much further and so much greater and so much more awesome. But it's going to be cutting your way through the jungle with a machete. You're going to have to deal with some things. But as long as we have the idea or have the mindset that Paul has here, that we've got to keep going to the goal. Keep going to the goal. Why? Because Jesus kept going to His goal for me. We will be able to complete any mission, and we will be able to go further than any of us thought we could for Jesus, for the kingdom of God. And we will be able to impact our area of influence in a greater way than we ever thought, dreamed, or imagined. And so you got to choose. We're going to press on, or we're not. That's what I'm asking you today. You got to decide for yourself. I can't decide for you. You got to decide for yourself. We're going to press on, or we're going to coast it out on the beach, right? I'm praying that you'll press on. Pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and mercy here today. Thank you for all that you are doing in our hearts and lives, even now. Lord, I thank you that Jesus continued to press on for us, that He didn't give up, that He didn't call it and coast in the rest of the way and walk away when it got hard and when it got difficult. But Lord, I'm thankful that He continued on, that He continued to move forward, Lord, even though it meant heartache and hard times, so that we might have forgiveness and have a relationship with You. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have that mindset in and of ourselves, Lord, as Paul has spoken here today. Lord, help us to realize when we're not there yet, and help us to have the strength and courage to press on, Lord, so that we may run toward the finish line of seeing You face to face. So, Lord, I don't know where everybody's at this morning, but I am confident that You do. And so, Lord, I pray that You would help us all to resolve in our hearts and minds to press on this morning to complete the goal that You've laid out before us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.